Hello, and welcome to my latest podcast for Media News. I'm Matt Broomfield, and I'm really excited to bring you the second in my series of discussions with people, artists, politicians, figures with an interest in a relation to the Kurdish question, and particularly how the situation in Kurdistan interacts with the outside world. And today I'm very happy to welcome our guest, Galder Arusta. Galder is a playwright and a filmmaker. He has produced scores of films. He's trained all over Europe, has received a prestigious scholarship to travel to America to continue his work and his study. And he has also just written what I believe is his first full-length theatre piece about the life or the imprisonment, indeed, of Abdullah Öcalan, the leader of the Kurdish Freedom Movement, who, as I'm sure everyone listening to this or most people listening to this will be aware, was detained in 1999 and jailed by the jail state and remains in those conditions until this day. But while there, has been able to develop this unique new political philosophy, which is somewhat unlike anything else that's happening in the world today. So, of course, it's a story that we all know and a very interesting story. And I'm really interested to hear from Galder about how he's turned this event and this process into art and into theatre. Not least because it's a subject that I personally am very interested in as a writer myself. So, Galder, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Matt. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So to begin, I think what would make sense, maybe you could just introduce yourself and also kind of your work in general. What things do you produce and what way do you work?
I'm a self-taught filmmaker mostly, and I've worked professionally in theater, but I have not trained formally, nor in theater or film, so I've been doing it for many years now. I studied philosophy originally in Madrid, and so I always knew I wanted to do film and theater, and actually universities where I got engaged in theater through the university theater group. I studied philosophy, and when I finished that, I did a master's in Amsterdam in film studies, so in film theory, in humanities and in film, let's say. And when I finished that, I came back to Bilbao, which is my hometown, and began working in professional theater in an independent theater here in Bilbao, mostly as an assistant director, production, that kind of stuff. So I have ended up also directing a play of my own last year. And in that time, I also wrote this play, which is called The Cell Without a Night, as part of a dramaturgy program, sort of a training program organized by the three municipal theaters of the three Basque capitals of Bilbao, San Sebastian, and Vitoria. And it was a workshop where they chose eight dramaturgs. I was the youngest. I'm 27 years old right now. At that time, it was in 2019, so 3 years ago. And they chose eight different projects of eight very different people. And we met during 3 months, two times per month, with two tutors. And we sort of all read our own works and critiqued, asked questions, and received criticism and questions about our work. And that sort of helped us develop and continue the hard process of writing a full length theater play, which is very tough in reality.
What I suppose I want to ask first is, how did you first hear about Öcalan and about the Kurdish issue? Was this because of the Basque connection or something else? Mm-hmm. And why did you then decide to turn this into a play?
Actually, the first time I heard about the Kurds was when the Syrian civil war and Iraqi war, all the conflict with the Islamic State began with Daesh. And suddenly I read this news about after the Daesh had defeated the Iraqi army, which had fled, suddenly this came out of this group that had stopped the Daesh, had cost them the first defeat. With this makeshift tanks made with truss and iron planks. And they were the Kurds, and I was like, who are these people? This sort of insane. I sort of started following the Kurdish issue. I had not heard about it before. Because I became more politicized at university when I was in Madrid. So, and in some point during that time, I came into contact with Öcalan and his story and his political thought. And where I followed the events in Cobain and sort of ended up finding different content. I did an Erasmus in Rome, and there I read this graphic novel by this Italian artist, Cero Calcare,
who had the Cobain calling.
I don't know, graphic novel. And so all that sort of just was like happening around me. I don't really remember when I found about Öcalan, but I began reading his books also, the books he has, and books about the revolution. And it seemed to me as the most interesting political proposal of the last decades I've read anywhere. It's sort of insane, and it's even more insane than it's actually being taken into practice in Syria, in Turkey, and in Syria, in a terrible civil war with the lack of resources and the risk, and they're trying to do something different. And for me, and meanwhile, it seems like in Europe, many times we're sort of lost or lost of a horizon. Taking it to the Basque question, for example, where we are also coming out of an armed struggle similar to the what the PKK used to be, you know, the Marxist-Leninist group fighting for an independent national state. And that has passed, but it seems to me that there's not a clear alternative horizon. Okay, the last methods have not worked. Do we still have to struggle for the same goals? Can we struggle for the same goals with different means? Or should we also sort of change our horizons? And I think in that sense, Öcalan makes a proposal which is very brave, very intelligent, and very unique. And I think there's a lot to learn for us from Europe, who we always are too Eurocentric and believe we have all the answers and all the problems. And actually, there's this proposal made by Öcalan, isolated in a small prison, making this insane political and radical and brave political proposal, which I think I can learn a lot from.
Because I suppose it kind of seems like maybe the obvious choice would then be to make a play about the Syrian civil war, about fighting ISIS, about the Rojava revolution. Yeah. Why did you decide to write something about Öcalan and about and kind of set it also just physically, I think, within the cell on Imrali, the prison island?
Well, my initial proposal, in fact, wanted to talk about Rojava and Syria and everything. I wanted to talk about both things. In fact, the original title, when it was just an idea, was Dreaming with Rojava. That was the original title. So much more leaning towards Syria, and as an example of his thought being taken into practice. But it was just too much matter to manage, and also because I also found that what really really interested me, the foundation of that, was Öcalan, what his political thought, but also in a more emotional sense, which I think is very important when we try to make art, to connect to an audience. So to try and make this interesting for people who do not know about the Kurdish question, or know about it but do not really care or have not connected with it. I think that's the interesting part. And for me, it was very emotionally or personally, I think also interesting to ask the question, how does a single man, completely isolated, suffering violation of human rights constantly, and with hardly any communication with the outer world, how does he question all his previous beliefs, and does not neither fully reject them nor just dogmatically re-embrace them, because it would mean a surrender to change your opinion, but instead proposes a new something new, which embraces his old ideas but transforms them into something new, and in fact proposes a horizon of hope and of living, of living together. And I wonder what happens inside of someone to make that turn. What are the struggles happening? There must have been so much internal struggle and hardship and strife just to make meaning to oneself, thinking that. How do you make those new thoughts coexist with your past life and what you're suffering in that moment? I thought that was very powerful, and I wanted to investigate that. I wanted to tell me.
Yeah. How did you kind of go about the process of kind of both imagining what this might have been like and then translating that to the stage? How do you animate those ideas and that process on stage?
Well, for me, the great challenge was to make Ocalan's political thought interesting and emotionally engaging and also understandable. So I believe for that I had to make a trip. I had to sort of show during his confinement how he transforms from one place to another. But I also want to be true to him and to his thoughts. So I made a dramaturgical decision, theatrical trick, that also to solve the problem that I did not want to make a monologue. I knew I wanted to make him in his cell, but I don't want to make an hour-long monologue. What I decided to do was to sort of go into Ocalan and putting on stage three versions of himself. And they are all him. It's not one, the original Ocalan and the angel and the demon who talked to him. No, it's three versions of himself. And each one represents a different part of his thought or a different stage of his life. And in making them, and they have to face the real events that Ocalan has suffered in the cell and how these different events change them, but essentially how it affects the relationship in between them three, as they three have to also try and live together in harmony, which in the end is also the challenge Ocalan faces when thinking about the Middle East. How can Middle East live together in peace and democracy and harmony? So I do that, and these three avatars I chose are the guerrilla fighter, which in my original play is sort of a young man, which would also be closer to the positions of Ocalan in his youth, I imagine. And he's the person who does not want to change, who wants to continue the fighting, because changing would mean accepting defeat in front of the Turkish state. Now they have imprisoned us, but we will not surrender. We will not change we will not abandon our ideals. The second character is the philosopher. In my original play, she's a middle-aged woman, and she's the one who says that they have to change, that if they have arrived there, something has gone wrong. They have made some wrong turn somewhere, and they have to find it and search for new horizons, new answers, new methods, new objectives. And finally, there's the peasant, who's an older age man, closer to the age Ocalan had when he was imprisoned. And he's the human part of all of this, let's say. He's the part that says, why are we even imprisoned? Was this even worth it? I just want to be in my hometown.
It's kind of the Sancho Pancha of the three.
In fact, a little, yeah. And he brings that sort of more human side to it. And so these three characters struggle to find a position towards the events that they happen to them, but also how to live together in this tiny cell which they share.
And it's, yeah, I suppose kind of having, as you say, having these multiple aspects enables you to humanize it a bit and to bring in kind of tensions, contradictions, reflections, arguments, whatever. And it's, as you say, it's not just a political speech, but it's really a play.
That's it. Yeah. And also it allows for different audiences to connect with different aspects, different arguments. It allows to make present on stage different positions towards such a conflict. So different sensibilities can find someone to connect to, and with them they can make a journey with this character. So I thought that was also interesting to connect with people who might also think the same. People who might say, and why was all this art struggle for? Was it even worth it? Well, they can connect with the peasant, and through him they will make a journey. Or with people who have been closer to this kind of struggles can connect with the guerrilla fighter or everything. So I thought that was interesting. And also in that sense, Ocalan makes it very easy, because he has a very complex thought and he does not shy away from contradictions and different ways of thinking, and he is very explicit with his own journey. So he also gives a lot. I have invented things, but I have been able to be very faithful to his thought. There's many times where it's not the best part, maybe are not my text, it's Ocalan speaking. I also wanted to make Ocalan speak to his words.
Yeah. The character. Could you maybe give an example of like a kind of a tension or a contradiction, a problem that you found and that you kind of put on the stage?
In the thought of Ocalan?
Yeah, for example.
There's the question of the visits. No, Ocalan has been very limited of the people of his lawyers visiting and his family members even more, and he has been very restricted. So this is one of the tensions during the play, the question of the visits, of whether they are gonna be visitor or not, and many years pass sometimes between each visit. So for example, the lawyer visits them once in a while during the play, and there's a tension about what they want the lawyer to tell everyone in the exterior. The guerrilla fighter wants the lawyer to say, tell the PKK to PKK, I'm used to Spanish reading of initials. He wants them to return to the armed struggle and fight again, or when the Syrian civil war started, he wants them to reignite the war again. So a new opportunity to fight again as they did in the beginning. Instead, the philosopher, for example, wants the exterior to keep calm, to wait, to think about it, to not rush into something that is futile, that has not worked before. And the peasant wants his family to come visit him. He wants that. And for example, there's a struggle at a certain point where the guerrilla fighter which happened in reality, I just divide the tensions between the characters. There's a moment where the guerrilla fighter decides to reject visits. He does not want the lawyer to visit him as a sign of protest against the Turkish state that is actually not being illegal about the number of visits. I don't want to receive one visit every 6 months when I should visit it. I receive it once a month, for example. And for that, the peasant receives that as a betrayal on part of the guerrilla fighter, because he has made a decision without asking what he thinks about it, and thus there's a tension between them, both of them, about what to do regarding this question of the visits. For the guerrilla fighter, it's an opportunity to fight or to give a message to the exterior, and instead for the peasant, it's just an opportunity for life lost, let's say, in this
sort of
void of life.
Yeah, so it sounds like you obviously went through quite a long dramaturgical process, and the play developed a lot from beginning to end. Did your kind of thought, or the way that you interact with Ocalan's thoughts, evolve and change as you were writing? Did you like discover new things, change your mind?
I read several books of his books, two or three. And I also did a very extensive research on the actual events that have happened to him on the cell. I did it through the Free Ocalan International Initiative, I think the name, because they have a really well-searched database. So those were the two main materials, but I also did some research on the Syrian situation, the revolution in Rojava, I think is the title of the book, which is very good. Yeah. And so I also grabbed some things of the of actual thought by people who are on the in the ground in Syria applying his thoughts. And I probably did, I don't know if I changed my thoughts so much, but I did learn a lot because it was a lot of, I did my research by taking notes. I had maybe 20 pages of notes, which are just literal citing of his words. And then I organized those into blocks of, by mathematical blocks. And then I organized the play. I did a structure through the events I want to touch on, the real life events that have happened to him in the cell. And then I decided which topics I would touch in which block. So the play is organized by blocks, which are specific dates in specific years where specific things happened. And each of these blocks, I talk about one of the topics, sort of simplifying it. Feminism, the feminist proposal, the armed struggle, the context of the PKK with the rest of the Middle East, democratic confederalism. So all those were organized in different blocks. And so it became a sort of a big mashup of his thought that sort of changed shape and became something else, intermingled with my own things or my own imagination of what maybe would have been like to come up with those thoughts or of the different struggles. So yeah, I knew little about Öcalan when I began, and the I knew things about the Kurdish situation, but when I finished, I knew a lot. In some ways, sometimes hard to differentiate in between what I learned through the process and what actually was only in the book. But then the book is so very present in the final text. The many words are still his, like the philosopher is talking, and it's a literal phrase of Öcalan of the book.
Sometimes kind of it sounds like, yeah, you so kind of you're both bringing these ideas to the stage, but it's also a look, kind of psychologically at what you know what would happen to anyone when they're in jail, and about the experience of being detained and what that does to the mind and how it resulted in this very unusual outcome.
Yeah, exactly. It's on one hand, I'm just a messenger. I just want to make people know about the ideas of Öcalan, and I want to transmit them as purely as possible. And then on the other hand, I'm creating an emotional journey of trying to understand myself, and at the same time trying to make others understand what actually being imprisoned like this actually means, what it means emotionally, and what it means to oneself, like how hard it must be to retreat oneself. Like it's sometimes hard in life to come to terms with oneself and your different ideas and impulses and beliefs. How hard must it be when you're completely enclosed in a complete isolation, when that's the only thing you have? Yourself is the only entertainment you have. It's the only struggle, in some sense. It's the biggest enemy. It's whether you'll be able to stand it or not. And it's amazing how many years Öcalan has, and being able to create this amazing body of work simultaneously.
Yes, for sure. And I think, yeah, and if one is familiar with the story, it's easy to kind of be like, oh, you know, it's been 22 years, it's been 23 years. But then, you know, if you think about what that means, taking a decision like you mentioned earlier, of, no, I'm going to give up my once every 6 months contact with the outside world, it's pretty extraordinary. Okay, maybe just to conclude, firstly, if there's anything you want to add, anything you feel we've missed, and maybe you could then just explain where this play is being shown in Spain or elsewhere, and if there are any plans to translate it or to have it performed elsewhere.
Right now, this play was released in Costa Rica, in Latin America, because it has been produced in a co-production between the three Basque theaters of the Dramaturgy Program and the Ministry of Culture of Costa Rica, sort of by chance. And so it was released there, and it's actually a co-production. So part of the artistic team is Basque, and part of it is from Costa Rica. Actually, the three actors are, two actors and the actress are from Costa Rica, which was interesting. So it was sort of adapted to sort of the dialect of Costa Rica, which was very interesting to see also. And it was released in Costa Rica on the 26th of July, I believe, and it ran for 4 days, so until the 30th. And it will show in Basque Country during March of 2023 on the, I believe, let me check the dates just to stay in the right, but I believe it's in San Sebastian. It will be on the 11th and 12th, yeah, that's it, in Bilbao on the 13th of March, and in Vitoria on the 15th of March. Hopefully, there will be more plays. When it's going to show in San Sebastian, it's going to be shown to programmers and such, so hopefully new releases will come from that. And so I'm sort of waiting to see what happens with it. I would love for it to be represented elsewhere, and well, depending what happens, I might think of translating it, who knows.
Yeah, let's see. Great. Well, yeah, obviously I hope that it's translated, so that, yeah, I and other people can enjoy it as well. But yeah, it sounds like a wonderful project, and it's very interesting to hear a bit more about the process and the ideas involved there. So, thank you so much to Galder for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope you'll join us next time, our listeners, for another podcast here on Medi News. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.